couple of announcements. First, on Tuesday, we will not have a daily Mass at 5:30. So the Mass on Tuesday, June 2nd, is canceled. Also, for Holy Communion, just a reminder for those who will not be receiving on the hand, if you could wait to come last, you can come to either the deacon or myself. And so finally, tonight is a joyful night for our parish. We have seven people in various forms coming to the church tonight, either for baptism, to be received into the church, and confirmation. And we're very pleased they're here tonight with their families. They did not realize that they would have an historic baptism or confirmation, but it is. You have an historic night. So we are blessed to have you here. They had been preparing all year through RCIA, and then, of course, we couldn't have Easter Vigil. So we have our Pentecost Vigil, and we are very pleased to be able to bring you all in tonight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In the year 2002, 1 year after my ordination to the priesthood, I had an amazing and rare opportunity. I concelebrated a daily Mass with Pope John Paul II. Now, it wasn't just the two of us, by the way. It was a small group of about 35, half about priests, the rest laity. We were gathered in his chapel early on a November morning. And after we had gathered in silence, the Pope then came out to pray. He moved very slowly. He was pretty elderly by then. But still, with all of his ailments, he knelt down on a kneeler to pray in silence. The world around him seemed to disappear, and he was clearly lost in prayer. In the silence, you could hear a light groaning. Now, this wasn't the sound of aches and pains. I know what that sounds like. But it was a deeper, spiritual one. And immediately, the words of St. Paul's letter to the Romans came to me. The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. The Holy Spirit was praying through this saint, and the same Holy Spirit can pray through you. One theme I have continually brought up in this short series on prayer is that prayer is not something that you or I do. It's not merely a set of words or thoughts that we express to God, although words are good and often necessary. But prayer is much deeper. Prayer is something that God does, that we are open to. We receive prayer. We are transformed by authentic prayer. Now, today we reflect briefly on the one who makes prayer possible, the Holy Spirit, the point of Pentecost. Now, the Spirit of God is not a what or an it. The Holy Spirit is a who. He is a divine person, equal in dignity and majesty with the Father and the Son. This is important because as a person, we can have a relationship with him. We can know and love the Holy Spirit just as we can know and love the Father and the Son. And the Spirit loves you and me just as he loves the Father and the Son. Now, this third person of the one God, the most blessed Trinity, is the one through whose power everything was accomplished. Creation itself happened at the word of the Father, but the Holy Spirit was the one who made it happen by his action, by his power. At the consecration at Mass, it's both the words of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that transformed the bread and wine into Jesus' body and blood. It, of course, was the Holy Spirit that would come down upon Mary, and Jesus would be conceived. The second person of the Trinity would take flesh at the power of the Holy Spirit. This is power, and it is yours. So you say, well, how do I get it? How do I get the Holy Spirit? The answer is simple. He's already yours. You already have access. He was first given to you through the waters of baptism, and then his power was completed in you through confirmation. And like I said, we're going to see that tonight with some of our newest members of our community. You will experience the many gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit in the measure that you are open to receiving him, if you are open to his working in you. He's there. We might just have to polish it off with those gifts, but he's there. The Holy Spirit can reshape your life through prayer. You and I don't always cooperate, but when we do, marvelous, life-changing things can happen. Now back to St. Paul's statement. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Real life-transforming prayer is something that is a response to God's invitation to transformation. So I guess the first question for each of us to answer is, do we want our life transformed? So many of us are content, not happy, but content enough living life on the surface, a superficial life. We numb ourselves, especially through entertainments and excessive sports and many other ways that work to keep us numb and superficial, never going deep, because it takes hard work to go deep. And too often we say we don't have time. Now, friends, we've been over this before. You've heard me say, yes, you do have time. As I said before, do not try to find time because you won't. We make excuses for that. You will have to make time. We make time for the important things in our life, and this is the most important one, your relationship with God. And if we can't see that, it's because we are not yet mature enough in faith. The ultimate action we are called to have with God in prayer is surrender and love. Just think about that when you go to prayer. Without words, to surrender yourself and just love God. It is in this life of prayer that we discover God acting in our lives and transforming us. Remember that for Christian, prayer is like air for the lungs, or blood for your veins. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He acts on us, transforming us ultimately into another Christ. And this is the point of being a disciple, to become another Christ. St. Paul expresses the goal of every disciple perfectly when he said in his letter to the Galatians, it is no longer not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We are ultimately talking about falling in love with God. When a person falls in love, they often feel this burning, a deep longing for that person. One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is fire, the burning. And it was tongues as of fire that descended upon the apostles and Mary in that upper room at Pentecost. Think about fire for a second. Fire changes what it touches. It symbolizes power and energy and transformation. It produces light and warmth. Jesus was transfigured in blazing light. St. Luke tells us that Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit when she conceived Jesus. And it is the same Jesus who wants to overshadow you. Not all the same gifts, St. Paul said, but it is the same Spirit. It's not a different Spirit that was in John Paul II that I heard, not a different Spirit that's in Mary, the same Spirit who's coming to transform us. The Holy Spirit stands ready to transfigure you, to change you, to plant his burning, transforming fire deep into the inmost recesses of your heart. Are you open? Are you willing to lose yourself to find everything in God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.